And we were talking at lunch, and I told Harry and Barbara and party that I didn't have anything to talk about tonight because I felt like I shot my wad on Tuesday night. And so Harry says, why don't you just sit there and smoke a cigarette then? But I hope that you heard, I mean, there was a lot of kidding and going on, but I hope you understood what I was talking about with regard to the relationship between Joy and the young man position and what that means. It becomes a driven life that really you sort of fall out of the picture. And that's what's set before you. Psalm 2. No, keep your finger over there in Psalms and go to Revelation 13 a minute.
Is that 13?
Yeah. Verse 3. Now, first of all, they're talking about this beast that, well, let's start in verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and his great authority. The dragon is the great serpent. The great serpent is Satan, prince of the power of the air, the god of this world. And the question is, who's the beast? And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, the head that was raised, the head that was healed from the deadly wound, the wound that occurred when Christ overcame, when Christ died on the cross, the human race died. And this one head, which had the appearance of, which was dead and was risen from the dead, is your consciousness, your awareness of self. It's you, it's the Antichrist. Your mind in the spirit is gone forever. In terms of the lie of the separation. You understand that? Now, we can talk, and we will talk at great length about what those 7 heads are and what the 10 crowns are, but I want to concentrate tonight on the one that was raised from the dead. I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Well, the deadly wound that was healed, the beast that was raised from the dead, is your consciousness, your self-awareness. It's you. It's that which has given you the propensity to consider self separately from that which is the creator your entire life. You understand? Now, that illusion of independent self is the lie, the sin, that the whole world is lying in deception of. All of the world wondered after the beast. You understand? And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. The 42 months that happened in Christ's life were from the point in time in which he was crucified, from the point in time in which he was baptized. His baptism in the Spirit caused all sacrifices in the temple to have lost their value. But there was an appearance for 3.5 years, which is the 42 months. Just as in you, at the point of your baptism, God doesn't know all this other stuff that we think about. God only knows at the point that you are baptized in knowledge, i.e., it's your burial, then there appears to be a continuance of 42 months in which the power is still given to the beast. It looks like the beast is in control. It looks like all of the sacrifices and oblations, all of your, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I wished I could have done better. Oh, poor me. Oh, the idea of all of your identities of separation, all your ought to's and should's still have the appearance of power. You understand? Now, the young man position that I have said that you have now entered into is that you have now overcome that wicked one. You have seen through the lie. Therefore, he doesn't have to control you any longer. And that's the essence of everything we've talked about. You don't have to be controlled by your sensory perception. Your faith now defines that I am complete in Him. There is absolutely no separation. I am totally and completely at rest with the Father, and by His Spirit I can cry out, Daddy or Abba Father. That there is never again the idea that I have to improve. There is never again the circumstances that take place in your life which define that, oh, if something goes wrong or if you feel some negation, oh, that must mean God is teaching me something or I should learn something or what am I trying to learn from this? You are free and the Son has made you free indeed. That's the settled fact in eternity. It is complete. It is finished. Your warfare is complete. In quietness and in confidence you shall be saved. In rest you shall see the power and efficacy of the Holy One of Israel. Amen. Now, the same thing, though, happens over and over and over and over and over throughout history, throughout the Scriptures. You will be deluded again because the beast will try to raise his head and you will have to, and you will come up with the idea that you are going to be perfected in the flesh, you're going to get better after the flesh, or you should do or shouldn't do, or you ought to do or shouldn't do something. That's this ghost that's rising from the dead, that's chasing you in your mind, giving you the illusion that there is going to be, that there is still the separation. Now, God is using that in a new way now. From now on, God will use that propensity to believe you're separate to cause you to fill up the afflictions that are lacking in the body of Christ. Therefore, what that means is, because you have experienced some affliction, because you have experienced some sense of separation, some sense of, oh, I should do this or I shouldn't do that, therefore, you will be able to meet the need of someone who isn't yet into that understanding, and you will be able to serve them. Amen. That's the only reason anything that you can perceive as negative can ever happen to you again. No evil can befall you from this moment forward. Amen. Now, just as the illusion always was the case, when Cain slew Abel, and he was wrought, and he said, oh my God, I shouldn't have done it, oh, poor me, immediately, God's declaration was, you know, why is your countenance fallen? Do you not yet see that the sin offering lies at the door? When the law was given to drive you into the idea that your mouth would be shut up, that you could never again justify yourself, when you've stopped using selective application of the law to prove your own rightness or goodness, when all of that stops because you have seen the full demands of God, the law scares the shit out of you. But what immediately did he build? The tabernacle, which is the picture of Jesus. Now, from this moment forward, in the same way, every time you are presented with the idea that you are being shown something, or that you need to change, or that you should do this, or that you should do that, and all of those propensities are, in effect, crucifying the Son of God afresh, you can simply say, the offering is at the door. The tabernacle is complete. I am at rest. You never again have to be perfected by the flesh. Never. Never. Now, the only thing that's required of you is the Lord has now spoken. Who can but prophesy? If you continue to draw back, to hold in the impulse or the thought or the statement or the feeling that is there, then you are among those that have drawn back unto perdition. I don't give a damn how righteous you think you are. Oh, I'm not going to say that because it makes somebody feel bad, or I don't want to hurt their feelings. If you don't know the lie of that by now, you might as well walk out of the door right now. The one problem with this, the one problem with coming to the fullness of this revelation, is that now you become the Jew. You become the protector of the oracle of God, and whom God has given much, much shall be required of you. The hill will get 10,000 times more steeper than it's ever been. The idea and the propensity to act will become more and more and more strong. But you have overcome the evil one. The word of God abideth continually in you. You don't give that breath any longer. But the test, because the revelation has been so great, the test will be so much greater. It's not something to be running from. It's something that you simply know, no matter what the requirement of God is at any given moment, God's power is enabling at that given moment. You will never be judged by what you don't have. You will only be responsible in the idea of bubbling forth. That's all that's required of you. Nothing else. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You do not have to pay any attention ever again to that lying demon from the depth of hell who has raised himself from the dead by the power of Satan and given himself over in this vessel, in this temple, to act as though he is God judging good and evil for himself or herself. If you can see in an instant the evilness of that position from the standpoint of God, you will never again hold in that which is the river of living water. The river of living water doesn't judge whether the river is pure or not. It's in the process, in the flowing, that the purification comes. Yeah. And now you are clean by the word that he has spoken in me. Yeah. No more acting. Never, ever, ever again. You have been bought with a price, and the price is so dear you cannot even imagine it yet. You will. Now you have been given over, and it will please God to bruise you. Why? So that that life, that river of living water, will flow from you and spill over, giving life to all that you touch, and you will never again fear the faces of men or what they'll think of you. You will never again draw back into that lying demon called self, judging that I am separate, oh poor me. You will begin to walk with a new charm of spontaneity and explosiveness, and those around you will wonder what the hell has taken place. Now let's go to Psalm 2. That was a preamble.
Glad you shot your wife Tuesday.
What?
Yeah.
Certainly glad you shot your wife Tuesday.
You don't have to hold it in anymore.
Yeah,
just let it out.
Relax. Now, it's a song.
All things are now under his feet. The total government of all of your life and all of life is on his shoulders. But you may not yet see that everything is under his shoulders, under him. But you look and you see Jesus. Now Psalm 2 says, why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. What is the rage and what vain thing? The rage is their continual mouthings with regard to self-improvement. And you are the heathen. This lying demon is the heathen. And you continually imagine the vain thing, the thing that has no fruit, no power, no efficacy, no ability. It is the, I hate to say it, but it's a spiritual fart. That's what all your imaginations are. And it really smells bad, and I'm sick of smelling it. Oh, I'm going to do this, this, and this. Don't you yet know? I mean, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why do the king and the kings of the earth set themselves together and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord? Now, who are the kings? You, all of the rulers, all of the kings, all of the people of the earth have set themselves up against the Lord, and against his anointed. You don't look like it. Man, I'm just being a nice guy. I'm just doing my thing, brother. The Lord has now spoken. Who can but prophesy? Who can but bubble forth whatever is there? Man, I know you're tired of acting. I can feel the pressure of you trying to hold in and put on a face. Man, explode. If he isn't there, forget it anyway. Amen. He created you to be exactly as you are. From now on, you speak as the oracles of God. It's impossible for anything else to come out. And as you then begin to do that, then you open the dam and the thing flows with no effort on your part. And the idea of acting becomes so foreign to you, it's like returning to tiddlywinks. And the idea of fear, and fearing the people's faces, and fearing somebody's response to you, and trying to satisfy people, trying to run around and establish your own worthiness. Oh, poor me. Oh, and then try, and then what's really sickening is when you start to justify yourself And you start it and you talk it in your little talks. Oh, I did this and this and this. See what you're doing. There's a new thing, a new creation has taken place. Don't believe any of those lies any longer. Now they're saying against the Lord and against His anointed, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. So we can go on in the illusion of separateness, even though we're down, we're crawling around in the dunghill. Well, I'm better off than that one over there in the dunghill. I love this separateness, because as long as I have separateness, as long as I believe the darkness, then I can compare myself with other people. I can compare myself with some imagined thing that I should be or not be. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Now if you want to go, nobody ever believes me, but they that trust in the Lord are together as Mount Zion. Here is Mount Zion tonight. No more Mount Sinai, which engendereth to bondage. And the king is on the holy hill of Zion. The government, the total government of every aspect of the body, of every molecule of the body, of every cell, of every member of the body, of everything that member does is on the shoulders of him who is the Holy One of Israel. The one who created by him and for him and to whom all things were created. And your body is the type of it. You know, that's why it's so silly. You know, try to make your little toe grow. Well, you can't, because the government is subconscious. It's here. You can't. Well, that's what you try to. Every time you try to improve your independent self, or every time you get concerned with your independent self, you are trying to, you know, oh, I'm going to make my pancreas put out gall. Or I'm going to start. I don't like my heart anymore. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make my liver make the blood go through. Don't you see the stupidity of it? Then why continue in it? God has put 10 million obstacles in your path, hoping you would stop and begin to see the fullness of His good pleasure to give you all things freely, and you continue on in your own merry. Well, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do that. If you don't see the vanity of all of that now, then you had better leave. Go out and do it all. God would have you hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, He'll spew you out of His mouth, and it doesn't matter how sincere you are. It's done. It's finished. It's freedom. It's life. And you choose death over and over and over again. 10 billion times a day by your refusal to respond to the stimulus. How long shall you resist the divine impulse? It was the Lord's great lament to Paul on the road to Damascus, and it's the same one He's giving you now.
As you read verse 6, I could see that chief cornerstone being set on top of the pyramid, and all those white blocks just becoming one.
It's shimmering. I will declare the decree, saith the Lord unto me. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten you. And as he is in the world, so are you. Now it's Christ's good pleasure to express himself fully in you. It's not your business any longer. And this isn't optional. You can't run around and choose this. You can either deny him by saying, I exist as a separate entity, or you can open to him. It doesn't matter what your words are. It doesn't matter. A hill of beans. God doesn't care. And I don't care if you're in darkest Africa and never have heard of the Bible, or if you're the greatest Bible scholar ever living. If you simply say, I bubble forth, I am yours, the Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? He's there, pouring his life out. Babylon is destroyed. Not even a jackal can live there anymore in you. Egypt is destroyed. Dead. The only one that can live in either Babylon or Egypt is the false spirit that has raised himself from the dead in your holy temple. Because it's only the habitation of spirits and demons, too disgusting to even talk about. Oh, but I don't want to say that because I'll hurt his feelings. You notice me being worried about hurting your feelings? Well, either I'm true, either what I've said to you all these years is true, or it's a lie. It's as simple as that. If it's a lie, why are you here? If it's true, then why do you continue trying to protect yourself? Why do you continue letting the lie of, oh, I've got to do this, or I wished I was that way, or I wished I was this way? I mean, can't you see that's the demon that's raised himself from the dead? It was the one that recovered from the mortal wound, the wound that was eternally mortal on Calvary. Am I making any sense to anybody? This isn't optional stuff. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. You have not, because you ask not. And even those few times when you ask, you have the lie of believing you'll consume it on your own self, and therefore you're double-minded. That duality God sees is darkness beyond darkness. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. Oh, I can't do that. That sounds something, yeah, whatever. You have not because you ask not. But you got to believe. I have not because I haven't gotten it right yet. Or I have not because I haven't worked hard enough. Or I have not because I got to do something over here a little bit differently. You have not because you ask not. And those few times that you do ask, you ask wrongly. Because you, in your asking, you believe the demon that says you're going to consume it on your own lust. Your own is gone forever. Well, but I can sound so righteous when I say shit like that.
But not shit like that.
You know, are you going to contend with me if you don't believe it? What?
This argument.
You know what goes on?
Like, wait, you know,
I was going to ask you what that scripture was. It seemed like we talked about the scripture.
What goes on for me when you say that is there's a little hunk that keeps saying, well, that's
all right for them.
Of them.
That's what everyone else is saying too. Just kill the mother. It's dead. Just blow him away. He's a toothless lion. He has no power except what you've given him.
He's emasculated.
You know, he's been declawed, detoothed, denuded.
You told me that today.
Denuded too. Castrated. He has no power. He's a toothless lion. But you love to run from him because, oh God, I'm running from him. Look at the big lion that checked me today. I got so tired running from that big lion. Oh, I got a backache because I had to carry him around.
That's good.
That's good. Like a hairy sweatshirt.
A direct hit.
Don't shake your head. Don't shake your foot, Harry. Well, Julie's the one that usually does it.
Yeah, she's got her safety shoes on.
Can you taste the freedom that's our inheritance? Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the world for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. I mean, you kiddingly, you know what I said, contentment with me if you don't believe it. But can you, I mean, there's no one in the world that can contend with Revelation. I mean, it is, can you believe somebody trying to contend with this? I mean, I don't care if it's Khrushchev or Reagan or Gorbachev or Jimmy Swaggart or any other idiots. And I'm no different than you. And you'll break him with a rod of iron. You'll break him in pieces. This is your place, folks. You own all things. All things exist for your sakes. I can hear Doug saying, let's call down some lightning.
Yeah. I was thinking about that one about your forehead as this flint. I mean, it's like an ice cutter just, you know, cutting through the ice or something.
You know, lift up those hands and strengthen those feeble knees. The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Now you are clean by the word which he has spoken. Now go to Ezekiel 36. Well, now, wait a minute. Let's go now. Never mind. Stay there. Oh, just hear me again. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Sounds like a contradiction in terms. But that's the only way to rejoice. Serve the king with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their total trust in him. But now I'm going to extend it. That put their total trust in him as you. As he is in this world, so are you. Your thoughts are his thoughts. Your words are his words. Your deeds are... What? Nobody can believe that. Well, I'll tell you, you better believe it. This is what they killed. This is what they crucified him for. Ezekiel 36. Also thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel. Now, who are the mountains of Israel? They that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion. You are the mountains of Israel. And say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. See, the enemy has said, the ancient high places are ours. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate. Who? What? The high places. They have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and you are taken up in the lips of talkers, and are the infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the rivers, to the valleys, to the desolate waste, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Edomia. Who is Edomia?
Adam.
The flesh, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand, surely the heathen that are around about you, they shall bear their shame. But O ye mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. And the city shall be inhabited, and the waste places shall be builded, and I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Thus saith the Lord God, because they say unto you, the land devourest up men, and hast bereaved thy nations, therefore thou shalt devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations any more, saith the Lord God. Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen any more, neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people any more, neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall any more, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way, according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and they are gone forth out of his hand. but I had pity for mine holy name's sake, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Where is that land? The New Jerusalem. Where is it? It's the overriding reality. Everywhere and in all places. And I will sprinkle clean water upon you. By the word he has spoken, now you are clean. And you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols. I will cleanse you. In the instant that you see, they're no longer yours, they're his. You're clean. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And that spirit that's within you has but one function. He and the seed of Christ can never be separated. He will show what is Christ's, always. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness. And I will call for the I'll call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Now, see that. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways. Let it go to the cross forever and always, no more. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, the land was desolate, the land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined and plant that which was a desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I, the Lord, will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. As the holy flock is the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You understand what it means? You don't have to believe to the one, that beast, any longer. That roaring lion. That lie of separation. You don't have to ever justify yourselves anymore. You've been bought with a price. The price is total. And you are strong because the word of God abideth continually in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Amen?
Amen.
Take it, big guy. So glad I didn't have anything to say tonight.